This is Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. Another year of Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Summer vacation is over. They're going to put the tee on the ball on the tee next Friday night. And Brian Roush, another season of high school football upon us. And the big question in small school football always is, what Northwest Upstate Illini Conference team are small schools in Northern Illinois going to have to run through? I know Forreston won the state title last year, long line of state champs from the NUIC.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I think Forreston will be one of those teams that you'll have to reckon with. They kind of did that thing last year where they lost their first two games and then went on a roll and ended up winning the Class 1A title. But I think that conventional wisdom this year says that Lena Winslow, with two Iowa recruits, two Division I recruits on their roster, they are likely to be the team to beat, and they have such a storied tradition there. Great coach in Rick Arend, and I think they will be the team to watch out for up here.
When do Lena Winslow and Forreston play in the 2019 campaign? Is that later in the season?
I believe it is. I believe it's a few weeks into the season, and that's always kind of that game where they walk off the field after playing each other and say, we'll see in 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it might be, because they know that that's usually matchup one of two encounters.
All right, it's pretty neat in your area this year, too, because you're going to not only see an eight-man football game, but you're going to broadcast an eight-man football game. So how is that going to work, and who will that involve?
Well, that's a great question. Let's see. It is River Ridge, and it's their homecoming game on September 27th when they host Flanagan, Woodland, Cornell. And we are about as knowledgeable about eight-man as some of the coaches say they are. They're still working through their schemes and trying to figure out how to defend the field, because it's kind of a different sport with only the eight players out there, and you have to move some of your best players around. But the one thing I told Coach Nicholas in talking with him this week is, I have a curfew, so I hope that these games aren't like 76 to 68 and we're there until like midnight.
Yeah, the length of the field is the same, 100 yards, but I know the width, I think they shorten the width a little bit. And I remember when I was talking to John Lawler at Alden Hebron, I think late last year, when he talked about some of the preliminary JV or freshman games at eight-man football, some of those are three-on-three games. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, that would be something. And Coach Nicholas did tell me that the first day they walked out and looked at the field and said, it is so narrow, but he said, we've gradually gotten used to it. And both he and the polo coach have said the same thing. All of the adjustments come with the coaches. It's a brand new sport for them. They're keeping as much of the vocabulary as the same that they've had in the past. They're also, you know, emphasizing blocking and tackling, and they're not talking about the fact that, you know, your one-on-ones are so much more important. You're going to be out in space, and you're going to be the only person between that you know, enemy ball carrier and the goal line. So yeah, they're trying to keep it simplified for their players. And I think they're all kind of nervous, not knowing about the opposition, not knowing about, you know, some of the tendencies in the game. I think the coaches are very nervous about this, but trying to keep it calm for the players.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. That's what week when you do eight-man football? Did you say September 27th or something like that?
Yeah, the 27th, yep, towards the tail end of the month, about in the middle of the schedule, I guess.
All right.
What about down your way? What is the landscape looking like down there?
Well, I know the conference where Mercer County plays this year, I think, is kind of wide open in terms of who's going to come out on top. I think you look at, you know, what programs lost to graduation and what programs have coming back. I think there's some question marks there. And then the Three Rivers Conference, I know with the area schools we cover with Orion, Rock Ridge, Sherrard. I think this is kind of one of the years, and this isn't disrespecting those programs, but it's like, I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm waiting to see in week one. I know the Three Rivers, you can always count on Newman being the team to beat on the one side. I think that's going to be the case this year. And then I think with the amount of talent that Princeton has coming back from last year, I think you have to consider them the team to beat on the big school side of the Three Rivers. Monmouth Roseville, of course, they advanced to the 3A semifinals, but they lost some kids to graduation. They do have a Mercer County transfer coming in, and Rashawn King. But I'm really trying to gauge what goes on after week one, because I think that's what we're going to start to find out. I just think there's too many question marks, and a lot of those will be answered after week one. And I think the other big issue here is we, you know, move along in 2019. It's not so much what is going to go on the field here this fall, but we're hearing all this chatter about the counterproposal coming to the district scheduling proposal, which is scheduled to go into effect in 2021. But now you're hearing, and I'm hearing, that possibly that's not going to happen. So my question is, what do these schools, what are they supposed to do scheduling-wise between now and 2021? Or is there going to be district scheduling, or is there not going to be district scheduling where these schools have to keep these conferences in these schedules together? I think that's going to be interesting to watch how all that plays out over the next, not only this year, but the following year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and it's kind of the question of the day. I was asking some of the coaches in prepping for the upcoming season around here. I'm like, well, what is the situation? Are you playing a home and home over the next 2 years with some of these schools? Because we've had the North and South kind of realign. It used to be big versus small. Now it's geography up here. So you've got some old rivalry games coming back. But my question was, is this just a one-year thing or a two-year thing? And they said, well, basically it's in place for 2 years. But most of them said, hold your horses on getting behind this district proposal, because it's likely not going to happen. And then I think you go back to the drawing board.
All right. Well, looking forward to working with Brian Roush for another year. He told me his 26th year doing this. I'm starting my 30th. I think you said Beaver Miller, your station owner, 37 years. John Hoshite, 40 years the station owner here. So you add all that up, and it's about infinity in the number of years doing local radio. Brian, have a good year. Look forward to working with you.
Yep, same right back at you, Jim. Always a pleasure to talk to you weekly, and we're looking forward to a lot of great conversations.
He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.